Okay, one more time. Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Hacherishu Elai Iyim. Ulu'umim Yachalifu Chayach. Hashem is speaking to the nations of the world and telling them, I want to give you Musar, rebuke. Listen to me carefully. Hacherishu means silence. When the first thing a person needs to do is to be quiet. When one is quiet, then it's possible for one to listen to what is being said. So Hashem instructs the nations. Iyim here refers to the nations of the world. Iyim literally means the islands, but here it's referring to the nation of the world, and they're being told silence. And if you'll be quiet, you'll hear what I have to say. Furthermore, ulu'umim here is another word for iyim. Yachalifu chayach. You should be. I give you a blessing that you should be invigorated, or go to sleep and rest up, and make sure you come here to this meeting where I'm going to speak to you with full strength, because I want you to answer me. If you have what to say, I want a response, and there should be no excuse that the reason why you're quiet is because you're just tired, you're exhausted, from a long day of working, you're not interested in fighting and arguing. That's not an excuse. I want you, the nations, to be renewed with strength, so that yachalifu chayach, so that you can respond if you have what to say. Yikshu, come close to me. Oz yidaberu, and after, oz refers to us, after all of this has been fulfilled, you are silent, you are rested, and you are ready to respond, and you have come close, meaning that you're paying close attention. Yikshu means come close, pay close attention. Yachtov, together, oz yidaber, then I will be ready to listen to your response, if you have a response. Now what is the Hashem basically going to tell them? Is there a reason why I should not redeem my people? Is there a reason, or is there something that you think you can do to hold back the power I have in bringing the Geula for Bnei Yisrael? The nations of the world, for some reason, don't want this to happen. They feel threat. They feel that if the Geula will come, they will lose their power. They will be faced with the world of reality, and that's too difficult for them to bear. They don't want this. You have to have a good reason not to want this. And only after you have listened to what I have to say, there are no excuses, you're fresh, you're full of strength, and you've come close, then I'll listen to your response. Which, of course, we know there is no response. It's total nonsense. Yachtav l'mishpat nikrova, let us both come together from mishpat. Both me and you, the nations of the world of Kadosh Baruch Hu, let's come together from mishpat. Let's see who is guilty and who is innocent. Let's see what you have done to my people through the long years of Golus, and if you are guilty, and what my people have done to you, if they have done anything, or if they are deserving of Gula. Let's see the Mitzvah very quickly. Pasuk Aleph. He really explains all these themes that I just said. It's a complicated pasuk which really brings us into this new parak. Hachlishu elai iim yoshev iim v'chlishu l'shmoya elai. Silence. Be quiet, listen to me. Ki amadaber lo yishma v'lo yaz. Because a person that's speaking cannot hear, cannot pay attention. If you're speaking, it's impossible for you to pay attention. If I want to tell you something, the first thing is you must be quiet so you can pay attention. Yachlifu choyach. Yichadshu choyach. We renewed lisamets betainos to be strengthened with tainos miyuchlu hashiveni. If you have something to respond, an argument to present in response, then yes. Yikshu oz yidaberu. Yikshu elai, come close to me. Lishmoya imrai, to hear my words. Come close to me to hear my words. V'oz achrei shemom, and then after you hear what I have to say, Yidabu devrayim im yimtsum ane, then speak your words if you have a response. Yachtav ani v'heim yinikra v'mishpat, ma shehem oimrim sheina yecholus b'yodi lin alhatzlus ani b'yodim. What are their arguments? What are the nations of the world trying to take say to Kadosh Baruch Hu? That Hashem does not have power to save His people from, Hashem does not have power to save my nation from their hands. Hashem is limited. That is what the nations of the world are trying to say. They're trying to create these lies. And let's see what you have to say. Pasuk Beis. Mi heyer mi mizrach tzedek. This is the reason why we laid this parak on Parashas Lech Lecha as the Haftar, is because of this pasuk. Hashem now begins, he gives an overview of Jewish history. who is the first, the forefather of Klal Yisrael? Avraham Avinu. So Hashem, this is a very interesting pasuk. Hashem is saying that who inspired Avraham to wake up the world and recognize that there is a creator? Was it Avraham himself? So that's not clear. If you learn Chumash, I don't think it's crystal clear, maybe I'm wrong. I think the average person thinks that Avraham on his own came to the realization, he was a great thinker, and he came to the realization, there are different midrashim, when he was 3 years old, when he was 40 years old, when he was, I don't know, there are multiple midrashim, different stages in his life, when he came to different levels of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He came to realize he's a creator, and he went out on a crusade. Avraham, or Ivri, he was on one side of the world, and the rest of the world were pagans, and he fought this crusade to show the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator. Hashem appeared to him, and from there eventually came Klal Yisrael. So this pasuk is telling us that's not 100% accurate. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself that selected Avraham, or at that point was Avram, and inspired him to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, of course, if you wouldn't have this pasuk, you'd have to say that anyway. Okay, you would have to say that everything, anyway, that happens in this world is definitely some hashgacha pratis, this divine inspiration. You'd have to come on that. But here, this pasuk emphasizes this with an extra dosage of recognition that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that had a direct desire that Avraham should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem influenced him. And that's what it says, Mi Heir Mi Mizrach. Who is the one that awakened? Mi Mizrach means Avraham, who lived in the east. Aram Naharayim at that point in time was in the east of the civilized world. Whatever the civilized world consisted of, okay, I'm sure there are books and Maamar Chazal which can tell us exactly, relative to modern times, what the world was considered, the part of the civilized world, but the Avraham was in the east. Who awakened this individual from the east to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tzedek Yikra'ehu L'raglo. Wherever, this is a description of Avraham. Wherever Avraham would go, wherever he would step, L'raglo means his foot. Wherever he would step, he would call out in the name of Tzedek. He would say, what is correct? What is, are these pagans? Are these idols? Do they control the world? It's ridiculous. The true tzedek, what is correct and what is just, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls. Well, let's look at the Mesudos. Mi Heir Mi Mizrach. The word Mi Mizrach is a term. It is a keyword that refers specifically to Avraham. Avraham Shehaya B'Mizrach. Mi Heiru L'Lechas. Who is the one that awakened him L'Lechas Misham, to go from there, from the east? The limas be elile eretz milato, and to reject the gods of his birthplace. Tzedek yirei l'raglo, b'chol mokon midrach kaf raglo, wherever his foot would step. Hayakoyrei esat tzedek, he would call out in the name of tzedek, of righteousness. What does that mean? What does tzedek here in the context of this pasuk mean? La'azoyv ho elilim, to abandon the idols. U'lahamin b'Hashem, and to believe in Hashem. U'cha'oymeru mi, and now we go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Who is the one that the cause of all of these ideas? That there was an individual that lived in the east, and his name was Avram, and he left the east to go out to the entire world, to call out wherever his foot would step, tzedek. It was, now we go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Remember, always the psukim, ruba de ruba, you have to read the psukim backwards, that's the style of the psukim. Mi heir, who is the one? It's a rhetorical question. Who is the one that awakened this individual to do all of these things? It was Hashem. It's a rhetorical question, it was Hashem, it was I, Hashem, that inspired him. Let's go further. Yitein lefan of goyim, Hashem gave before him nations. We're referring here to the nine nations of the world. There were nine nations. There were the five kings and the four kings. So there was a world war, and the five kings, the four kings, overcame the five kings, and then Avraham overcame the four kings to a certain degree. To a certain degree, even though the four kings fell of stone, but Avraham showed that he was on top of the four kings. So at this point in time in the world, appears to be nine major world powers. I'm sure there were more than seven. There were the nations of Canaan, but generally that's what the Pesukim present us. And Avraham, all of these nations were Kafuf were subordinate to Avraham. That's really what it comes out. So Yitain Lefanov Goyim, Hashem has given before him nations, Umulachim Yard, kings have been lowered before him. Yitain Kiafar Charbo, and this is the simple interpretation means that Afar is dust. You know, the particles of dust are infinite. Avraham went out alone. We learned this in our Minog section. It went out with 318 soldiers, all with Eliezer. How many swords already could they have already? Either it was just Avraham and Eliezer, who was 319 swords, Avraham plus 318 plus Avraham. But with those swords, he was able to conquer soldiers, people that were numerous as the dust of the earth. That's how we interpret this pasuk according to its implementation. Yitain ke'ofer charbo, the dust, the sword of Avraham conquered. Yitain here can be used to mean, can be given over, to can be translated loosely as to conquer with his sword numerous soldiers as the dust, as the number of the dust of the earth. Kakash, Nidav Kasha, with his bow and arrow, also he conquered a number of soldiers that's equal to the Kash Nidav, to the stubble that blows in the wind. There's an infinite, I don't know if it's as infinite as the dust of the earth, but it's a very large number of something which is too numerous to be counted, the stubble that flows, that blows in the wind when the straw withers in the season, when the season is over and the straw withers, so just stubble blows away in the wind, and Avram conquered all of these soldiers and all these kings and all of these nations. Now we all are very familiar with the very famous Medrash, and the Medrash says that when Avram fought, he picked up earth and he threw the earth, and the earth, as he threw the earth miraculously turned into swords and arrows. So that medrash is based on the pasuk right here. That's a very popular medrash. Then there are stories. I've gotten the story with a certain story during time, during much later point in time, the time of the Churban. I don't remember the details where a person went to a king.
It's in the Gemara somewhere.
Yeah, they went to a king and Nochem Mishkamzu, excellent. Nochem Mishkamzu was traveling and he went to sleep and he was going to a king to bribe the king not to be mevatel a gezeirah for the Jewish people, and he slept over in a motel, and in the motel someone went and stole the gift that he was going to present the king, and replaced it with dust, with earth. He comes to the king, and lo and behold, they open up the chest, and what's in the chest? Earth. So the king wanted to kill the messengers. Well, what kind of Nazi coming to what they give me? So Nacham Mishkamzu said, Gamzo Latova, do not worry, this is the dust of Avraham Avinu. When you throw this dust, it turns into arrows and swords. The king said, what? Yeah, try it. And they tried it, and they conquered nations they never succeeded in conquering. Miracle, and the king rewarded Nacham Mishkamzu with a lavish gift, and of course they were mevatel the gezeirah. He went back to the hotel, and the ganav, how in the world is it that he survived? He presented the king with a chest of earth, and he didn't kill you? How could it be? So the Nacham Mishkamzu told him the whole story. So this ganav was so impressed, he figured that the earth of this motel must be magical. So he also took the earth of the motel and he went to the king and presented the king with a gift with this earth. But the king tried that earth, nothing didn't work, and Ganef was killed. That was the end of the story. That was the story of Chumash. So where did Nachum Ishkamzu get the idea to say that this is the earth of Avraham Avinu? When you throw, it turns into arrows and into swords. This pasuk can be literally translated to the Hebrew Goyim, Ulachim Yard, Yitain Ke'afar Charba. This offer, the dust, turns into a sword. Kakash, Nidav Kash, or Kash, straw that is thrown, turns into, has the equivalent power of a bow, which means that the Kash, Nidav are the arrows of a bow. Now, also, we are very well aware that when we describe, when we say Charbi Lakashti, Harbi Kashi is a reference to Tzila, the Koyach HaTzila. Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, I'm giving you Shechem achad alachecha, an additional portion of your brothers, ashalakachim yadhem or becharbi uvikashti. With my cher, my keshes, and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, what does it mean? Bitzilusi uviuasi, with my prayers. So cher v'keshes is a reference every time, it's a keyword, every time we have this expression in Tanakh, according to Chazal. Of course, there's the Pashup Shat, you can't deny the Pshushal Mikra means the sword and the bow, but there's also a Drush, and the Drush is the Koyach HaTzvila. What's the why? There are two different forms of Koyach HaTzvila. A Cherev is sharp without much precision. Just holding a sword and moving a little bit, you can do great damage. That's the Koyach HaTzvila B'Tzibur. If you daven with a Tzibur, even if you don't have all that great Kavana, The koyach hatzibur is powerful, and that's why, of course, we all daven with the min, because today we're very weak. It's very hard to concentrate with great kavana. But if you're part of the tzibur, the koyach hatzibur is very good. That's what they say. They say that if you listen, it's very good to listen to the chazaras hashatz. You listen to chazaras hashatz, not to learn. Everyone becomes a master when it comes to chazaras hashatz. A whole day. Whole day you do all these crazy things. I'm talking to myself, whole day you do all the shagat. Oh, so comes the chayar, says a shot! Ah! A masmid. There's something, a gval, a safe, or somebody's svarim, and there's tantrums, there's a sheet on the table. And this, and the, what a yetzar. Always need a gval, a masmid. It's mamish like halacha. You're not allowed to do that. Okay, so it's much, no one's gonna give you a dirty look. It's infinitely better to learn during chayar, says a shot, than to talk to your friend or to play with your cell phone. There's nothing to talk about, so it's a dara pashit. Cut your losses. There are bigger battles to fight. There's no question about it. So no one's going to start up with you for learning their chazaras hashatz. Okay, and there are very forced opinions that you can find a heter. Maybe you can find a heter. It's not so simple to say that, but okay. But in any event, if they say, this one's brought down, to listen to the shots. It's very good to have a good shot, a good bal tefillah. I'm not talking about Yom Lerom, I'm talking about even Mincha, that Mincha, Shachris, someone that says the words, and you listen to him, and if you latch on, you listen to what he says, and you're mechaving to what the Shliach Tzibur says, and having Kavana is very powerful. It has a tremendous Koyach HaTzibur. When you dive in your private Shemona Esrei, it's also, being that you're davening together, 10 people together, even if you're not having such great kavana, you're just saying the words, but you are in a setting of 10 people, matayim, that's also very powerful, much more powerful than davening the yachidus. But even listening, even that could even be greater. Listening to the shliach tzibur, you keep the bracha, and you just listen to what he says, and you answer amen, you latch on to a koyach hatzilah, which is very powerful. But so chayv, that's cherev. Cherev is the koyach because a sword is sharp, and just waving a sword is very dangerous. Then there's keshes. Keshes, a bow and an arrow requires precision. If you just take a bow and arrow and you shoot a bow and arrow, it's not necessarily going to land on the enemy. Adarab can do harm, can land on a friendly fire. Who knows who will land? You have to be very precise. Keshes is a reference to tefilas hayochid, an individual. An individual has to daven with precision. If you're not coming on to the koyach hatfila, then your tefillah must be with precision, the koyach of keshes. Not always does a person have the opportunity to daven tzibur, so you have to have both. There is charbi uvikashi. Charev is koyach, it represents koyach tzibur, which is sharp on its own, and keshes, the koyach hayochid, which needs more precision. And that's what here, that Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu awakened up Avraham Avinu. Woke him up, he aroused him. Avraham Avinu was Senek Lufanov, and he had success in conquering the nations. Goyim and Malachim, two different expressions of Goy and nations and kings. Very interesting, two different ideas. It's one thing to conquer a nation. Sometimes you have a nation, a tyrant. It's very likely you can talk a little in modern times. You could have a nation, and you think the nation, you can win the minds of the Hamoinam. But the leader of the nation is a dictator. He's a dictator. He's a tyrant. And he rules his country with an iron fist. And the people hate him. But he's in control. And he has established his authority in the country where the people of the country can't win him over. So a new nation comes to conquer. It's easy. All you got to do is topple the leader. Right? So you get rid of the melech. And the nation, you win over because they love you, because you got rid of the tyrant. Not necessarily. Just because you got rid of who they hate doesn't mean they like you any better. Okay, you talk about, you know, Iraq, United States, and all this. There's the nation, and there's the leader. You need great success to conquer both. Just because the nation and the leader, they hate each other, they don't necessarily get along, and you conquer one, doesn't mean you're going to win over the other. The pasuk here says, Goyim is the hamoinam, is the population of the nation, the people, the civil people who are not in the power, and then there's the malachim, the people who call the shots. People who call the shots don't necessarily have the same ideology as the people who they control, who they rule over. Then Yitin Kaf Kharbo Kash Yudaf Kash next. Pasuk Yugimel. Year of the fame. Now this is a very interesting pasuk. Year of the fame. Avraham Avinu pursued them. He pursued them. He heard that his brother, which was really his nephew, was captured, and he got together, and he pursued them. Yavar Shalom. And he passed in peace. In other words, he was successful. He came back in peace. He returned in peace. He went out to war. Not everyone that goes out to war comes back. Avraham went out to war against the five nations, the four nations, and passed in peace. He returned in peace. Yavar Shalom. Orach Biraglov Lo Yavo. Orach Biraglov Lo Yavo means a path that his feet never traveled on. In other words, this was unfamiliar territory. It's one thing to fight in your backyard, so you know the terrain. You know the pitfalls. You know the advantages. But when you're fighting in someone else's land, you're not familiar with the terrain. That's a very great sakon to fight in unfamiliar territory. And that's what it says here, that Avraham Avinu, he pursued the enemy. He returned Yavar. He passed through that battle in peace. He survived. And he was able to do this. The pasuk over here is coming to marvel. He was able to do this even in a place that Avraham Avinu didn't know from. Oirach Biraglov, it was a road that Biraglov Lo Yavo, he never traveled on. And yet, he was successful. Before we go further, I'll just tell you something, interesting story. The only reason I was reminded of the story, when I went yesterday to Rabbi Shur. I strongly encourage you, if you can go, it's a fascinating shir, Rabbi Shur. Here on East 15th Street between El and Locust, gives a shir Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for 45 minutes in Ein Yaakov, in English. The place is filled to capacity. There must be probably 200 people. Fascinating shir. In English, down to earth. He says over such beautiful things. You don't need any background. Fascinating shir. So he said yesterday his story. This story, I've heard this story a number of times. My father used to say over this story often. And I heard the story many different ways and twists. So I'll just tell you the general story, which some of you may have heard. In Europe, before the war, we all know they were maskilim. They were a group of secular Jews who caused a lot of harm and antagonism. They were very antagonistic towards what we will call today the Haredim. Haredim is a new modern term which only came into existence like the last 20 years. But they would cause harm to, you know, the traditional Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And they tried to steal away boys to become enlightened, to learn the arts, and to break away from tradition. So there was a play. And one of the boys from the yeshiva, which yeshiva, that's all part of a different version of the story, he broke away, and he went to watch the play from the maskilim. So what was the play? The play was Milchemes Goygu Magog. They were acting out on the stage, entertainment, Milchemes Goygu Magog. And they show at the other end of the stage, all of the nations of the world have joined together to wipe out Eretz Yisrael, to wipe out the Jewish people. And the other end of the stage, they show these old hunchback Jews, like little Indians coming together, these ancient Jews coming together with bows and arrows and horses and donkeys. And they're standing on this side of the stage, and they're about to go to battle against the nations of the world with the most sophisticated, ultra-high-tech weapons, and who knows what, planes and tanks and drones and whatever you could imagine. They didn't have drones in those days, obviously. Okay, so they come together. And before they go to war, Who gets up? This is all part of play. The kohen, the kohen a shuach melchama, person who's dressed with the big day kahuna, the shmei nebegadim gets up and says to the soldiers. You ever hear the story? Anyone?
No
one heard the story. Gets up and says, "It's melchama. This is the parsha kiseitzay la melchama loydecha miho ish asher bona bayis." Who is the man here? Anyone here build a house within the last year? Did not make a Chanukah Sabayis? Yelech! V'yoshuv l'veisoy! Leave! So a whole group of these old Yidden get up and they leave. Mirish asher not a bayis, asher not a kerem, v'loy chiloloy. Did you play the vineyard? Leave! A whole group gets up and leaves. Who's the man that got married? Anyone get married here within a year? Yelech! V'yoshuv! So a whole other group gets up and leaves. And then he says, Mihoish Hayore Verach Halevav. Who is the man that's afraid and soft, can't see the sight of blood? Yelech. Everyone leaves. Except the two people. Everyone leaves. Two people are left. Who the two people are? I heard many versions. Let's make believe it was the Chofetz Chaim and it was a Baruch Ber. Okay, I'm just making up the Chofetz Chaim and the Baruch Ber. They're left there. They're the only ones that are not afraid of Aveira Shabiyada. Okay? And they're now going to go to battle against the Ganze Olam. With all the weapons of mass destruction, they're going out with a bow and arrow. They have a bow and arrow. Chofetz Chaim, and not a nice bow and arrow. You can imagine the Yeshiva Shema's a big bow and arrow that doesn't even work. They go, no. Melchemes is the play. This is all part of the play. The Litzamis. Nu. This Baruch Ber says, Shab Chayit says, Nu. Melchemes, Goy Gomagot, it's a mitzvah. A bracha, let's make a bracha. Baruch Atu Hashem, Melchini Melech Olam. A Melchemes mitzvah. Nu. And Chavetz Chayim, Nu, you're a Koyin. Ah, Koyin. V'chidashtoy. Mechubit, the Chavetz Chayim, with the Ershta, the first shot. You're mechubim with the first shot. Rav Chavetz Chaim says, Nay, you're a shiva, a baruch ber, a talmud chacham. You're mechubim. Only a meichel on the cover, a mechabim, a baruch ber, should shoot the first arrow. The audience is laughing hysterically. They're laughing their heads off. And that was the end of the play. And the curtain closes. So this bachar, who was a part of the camp of the Chofetz Chaim and the Baruch Ber, shouldn't have been there at the play altogether, okay? But he couldn't control himself, and he was very, very disturbed. It hurt him very much. He went back to the Chofetz Chaim, or the Baruch Ber, is how I heard it, and he told him the story. And of Baruch Ber, he heard all the details, and he was very disturbed. And he starts pacing back and forth. And then he says to the student, "You know something? They're right. That's exactly how it's going to be. That is exactly how it's going to happen. And you know what? They're going to win. The Chofetz Chaim and this other man, they're going to win the Muhammad." That's the story. This is where I'm sure you sit over the story. Yes, a little bit differently. This is how my father sit over the story. That's how it's going to be. And that's really what this pasuk says. This pasuk here says, I mean, okay, there's truth to this, so obviously you have to calibrate the story to what it means, but I mean, we have in our own history, I go talk about the Six-Day War, you talk about the War of Independence, you talk about all these different things. It's l'mala miderech hateva. And that's exactly what the pasuk here says. It's all rooted in the melchama of Avram Avinu against the four or five kings. Maisa avos simon abanim. Year the fame, Yavar, Shalom, he'll pursue them. He will return in peace. He was one man with 318 Kol Yungalite. Right? Or even according to one interpretation, just Eliezer, the Shamus. The Shamus comes with the Rebbe to go fight against 9 kings, dealing in 9 world leaders. And what does it say in the Pasuk? Oirach Barag Lov Lo Yava. They have no experience. They travel on a road they never went on before. They never picked up a gun. They have no experience whatsoever. And they now, of course, I'm not so crazy to say that today that today you don't have to do hashtaglos and be trained in the, we all know good and well in Eretz Yisrael, they're the best trained in the world and the most sophisticated. There's no talking to talk about. We're not on that madrega, obviously. I'm not so foolish and naive to think just in Kailo, you have to do your hashtaglos and in Eretz Yisrael. I think from what we read about, the hashtaglos is way beyond what the world, armies of the world come to be trained in Eretz Yisrael, from what we read about. But you have to know what the ikar is. What is the ikar? What's the tafel? The ikar is the hashkacha and the emuna b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He went on to say, "I show something amazing." I don't know anything he said, but this is a very interesting idea. Is that a person in galus, the Melchemes Smith, who goes out to fight a Melchemes Smith? For everyone, I feel kala mechupas. That's why this story is not a really good story, because Muhammad Smith, so there are no excuses. Again, this is a story. By Muhammad Smith, so there are no excuses. Even if you're afraid and you built a house, anyway, you go to Muhammad. So that's why the story, there's a problem with the story to begin with. But that's not the point. But Muhammad Smith, so everyone goes. Afilu kala mechupas. What about a person in Golos? Let's say a person killed another individual by accident. He killed by accident. And he happens to be the most highly skilled soldier in the Tzva Hagana LeYisrael. There's no one that can match his expertise in whatever weapon or whatever skill that's needed. But he happened to kill someone, B'Shoygeg, and he was put in the Ari Miklat until the Misa of the Kohen Gadol. Does he go to the Muhammad, to the war? I'm not sure exactly which show we're talking about, but Pilate's talking about Muhammad Smith. Does he go? Definitely doesn't go. Why doesn't he go? He's needed for war. So he brought down, so he explained, I don't hear clearly who he said this from. He says, because the halacha is he does not go. Must be around, but does not go. Why? Because he will not have siyata d'shmaya in war. Because if he killed someone by accident, he took someone's life by accident, there's something wrong with him. He needs rehabilitation. I mean, it's not for us to talk about something's wrong. People, things happen. But in an ideal Torah society, okay, we're not talking about today. Today you can't say such a thing about that. But in an ideal Torah society, the person that killed someone by accident has to go to Golus. He needs rehabilitation. He needs Musar. He needs to work with the Levine. They have to do something for him. That's how we're dealing with the time when you have. And a person in that matzav will not have the siyata d'shmaya to succeed in Muhammad, no matter how great and skilled he is. The average person, if Hashem wants, will win the war. You do your hishtalus. It's fascinating insight. And a lot of it is rooted here in this pasuk. Okay, let's just do one more pasuk. Yi po'al v'asa.
What about a mezid who didn't get
killed.
No, he doesn't kill, there's no Adam or something, so he's walking around.
It's very clear from Chazal that the person that's amazing, that doesn't have witnesses, he's taken out of society. He's removed from society.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the merit. Golus is a schus. It's a rehabilitation. It's a rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Person who's amazed, there's no rehabilitation. He's removed from society. They're not going to kill him with Misas Bezdin, with Herig. He's not going to get that kapara, but it's clear he's a threat, he's a danger.
So you and him, you wouldn't send anything?
Right, Pashas is that. That's the assumption. Certainly, according to this idea, certainly not. Okay, so now we want to pass like, Mi Paul Vyasa. Who is the one, Hashem, here, this repeats the same theme of the previous pasuk? Like, Mi Paul. Things don't happen by themselves. When you see new trends in society, the trends are all come from a ruach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like the previous pasuk, Am Ravinu, it's an incredible insight. It wasn't just an accident. A person woke up in the morning, Hashem was waiting eagerly. When is there going to be a person that's going to recognize I exist? I can't wait for such a person to happen. When this person comes, I'm right away going to crown him the father of Klal Yisrael. It's not. It's not what the pasuk says. That's wrong. Hashem in advance selected Avraham Avinu, put the thoughts in his mind. Of course, this is very hard to understand because there is still Bechira Chavshas. Where do you draw the balance? I don't know, there is a balance. There's somewhere to draw between Bechira and inspiration, divine inspiration to guide you in a certain way. But that's what you do see here clearly, that there is a degree, there is a dosage of divine inspiration. And this Pasuk Dalos is the same exact Mipol V'asa. who is the one that was Paul that was instrumental the Asa and created Korei Hadoros Meirosh, the one that, now this is a very interesting discussion of the Metzilus learns, Hashem, that every generation is unique. Every generation you study, we all know in our own lives, okay, every couple of years to a certain degree is a new generation. You have to wait 70 years. Every couple of years, it's, you know, the things happen. Every, I don't know what you want, every 10 years or 15 years, you use, in your own, our own lives, we can sense today, it's different. It's different today than it was 10 years ago. There are things that are better and there are things that are worse. There are different trends. There are different. Hashem calls each door, it's now your turn. It's now your turn. Stand up and take center stage. That's what it means. Koirei hadoros. Hashem calls, and there's no doros in the beginning of time, to the end of time, that's the same. Every couple of years, there's a new ruach, it's a new door, and Hashem instructs each generation, stand up, take your place, and be influential on the world, in the big picture of the history of the world. Me, Paul, who's the one that causes all of these trends and changes in society to take place? Korei Doros. Now, Korei Doros has to be read together with the word me. Okay, the word me here is meant to be repeated. It's a stylistic interpretation of the pasuk. You read the word me multiple times. Me Korei Hadoros. Who is the one that called out to each generation to stand up and take its place? Meirosh. From the very beginning, when Hashem created the world, all of this was put into place. Ani Hashem. It is I Hashem. Rishon, who is the first? V'yes Acharonim. And the last, all of the events, what is first and what is last, the first generation, the last generation, it goes on the generations, Ani Hu, it is I. Ani Hashem, Ani Hu, it is I, from the beginning to the end. Do not make a mistake and think this is all part of the ideology of Avodah Zarah, that the Avodah Zarah believed, that all these pagans, God can only be one thing. God can't have two traits. This, to get out of this mode took thousands of years for people to wake up and realize this. If there's a sun, there's light, it can't be that there's a God that when it's dark, it's the same God. Because darkness, light and darkness can't be the same. If there's good and there's evil, it can't be that there's a God of good, a God of evil. There's a God of the sun, a God of the moon. There's this planet, and when this planet, every generation is a new trend. It's a new trend, that means there's a God operating at this point in time, and then that God took a back seat, and a new God came in, and that new God has different ideas, different hasagas. Hasagas of democracy. Ah, there was never democracy in this world. I mean, I don't know, maybe there was. Go back in ancient times, they experimented with it, but we don't really find it, we don't find it to such a degree. What? We don't find it popular. Maybe there were experiments. I don't know. I'm sure there must be studies. They must have discovered somewhere there was democracy. But oh, there's a new trend. A new trend is a new God. Because it can't be. It can't be that the same God can do two things. Can't multitask. A God cannot have one. This is apikursis. And this is what is repeated so many times in Tanakh. Ani Hashem Rishon. I am the God of the first generation, of the things that occurred in the first generation. V'yes Acharonim. And all of the things that occurred, the beliefs, the trends, the hashkafas that took place through all the other generations. Ani Hu. It's the same God. There's only one God. Don't get carried away here. And that's what we are saying so far. And then the psukim will go on. Okay, we have to stop here. This theme continues further.
Yeah. This pasuk is also the source for the midrashim, where, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem fast forwards history and lays all the generations out before him. And so it's based on this very same pasuk.
Ani Rishon Vani Acharon.
Korei
Doros.
Korei Hadoros Mei Rosh. Who has the historical perspective in advance.
In advance, right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, stop here.